It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How do you feel about the economy right now? 844-967-2789. It's the economy, stupid. But no, and this is, it. Personally, how do you feel? Like, if you were to, someone were to ask you point blank, how's the economy doing? What would you say? And I'm so interested to hear your opinion because I feel like everyone's going to have a different answer as to why they feel the way they feel. And I think the economy is this huge umbrella term for how our personal finances are doing, what our job status is, what our hiring status is, and we don't have a shared definition, let alone shared like indicators like economists do, but it doesn't translate always into how we feel the country or our finances are doing. So how do you feel about the economy right now? 844-967-2789. We are starting here because this is where we ended yesterday, and we actually started to get a bunch of calls, but we couldn't take them because the show had to end and we had to go to the newscast. But would love to hear from you. Greg Bach.
Hello.
How do you feel about the economy right now?
I feel ambivalent.
Okay.
Because just like that, like you were talking about yesterday, because I was listening to the show, because I listen to the show.
You do listen to the show. Especially lately.
Yeah, a lot lately. more to come, people. But I always feel like the automatic sense is to be like, the economy is terrible. Unless you have like just indicators that are so outward and so like,
unless it's the 90s.
Yeah, unless it's like the 90s or the 20s or whatever, when everything was booming and wonderful. Because, you know, you hear inflation all the time. You hear the price of eggs. You hear the
price of houses.
You hear college. You hear this. And you're like, of course the economy is terrible. And then you actually read the projections and they're like, nope, it's good. It's not where we should be, but like, it's not as horrible as we want to believe, because we just always think the economy, it's terrible.
And certainly not as horrible as what other countries are dealing with now.
My good gravy, no.
But Jane Madnair, how do you feel about the economy right now?
Well, and I think, it all depends upon your personal situation. And my husband and I are fortunate. Our house is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
We're both working in jobs that we love. We have money in the bank. My 401k has been doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I mean, things are expensive. I filled up with gas yesterday. It was $50. And it's, Saudis are going to be cutting oil production, so expect those gas prices to continue rising.
Yeah,
and expect them to blame Joe Biden for it.
Right. But things are still expensive. And for people, you mentioned trying to buy a house, trying to find some place to rent.
Yeah.
That's not going to cost you 40% of what you make. I can't even imagine. So this is one of the rare occasions when I guess I'm glad I'm old.
I'm getting there, Jane. I can't wait.
Well, and so we brought this up because the new inflation numbers came out yesterday, and it's at a 2-year low, which is good, but it's, you know, that doesn't tell the whole story. Energy is a lot cheaper than it was. I love this. Revenge spending is down, which has also curbed inflation. What would you say? It's not revenge porn. It is revenge spending. What do you think revenge spending is, Greg?
I think revenge spending is when you spend your money because they say don't. Or
that's actually not far off, but go ahead.
Or after a breakup.
So it was after pandemic lockdowns. So they're titling it revenge spending for like the American splurging on vacations and leisure and recreation. And now, like, I don't know why economists said that's revenge spending, like revenge against the pandemic and the lockdown.
That sounds ridiculous because during the entire lockdown in those like first year of the pandemic, the amount of people showing the boxes they ordered from Amazon, like nobody stopped spending. Everyone was spending. Yeah, you weren't going on vacation, but you were still spending. Do you know how many Lego sets I bought during lockdown?
How many have you finished?
I have not finished one in a long time. Okay. It's
you're a little busy.
I'm very busy and I don't have a room. I need a space.
A Lego room.
Yeah. Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text talking about how do you feel about the economy. Jack from Merrimack. Hello, Jack. What do you think?
Well, I think the economy is going great. All we hear from the Republicans, and unfortunately we don't hear enough positive stuff from the Democrats, but all we hear from the Republicans is inflation, inflation, inflation. Inflation's on the way down. I just drove out to South Dakota and back, and for the first time in years, actually since the Obama administration, I saw a terrific amount of construction. There were 10-mile stretches half a dozen times on the interstate that were one lane was closed trying to improve the infrastructure and fixing up really banged up highways. What needs to happen, you know those cutesy little signs that showed Biden pointing to the gas prices and said, they say, I did this. He needs to have a bunch of those signs at the beginning of each construction zone. I did this because that's the result of his infrastructure. But here's what Harvard Business Review has to say about the economy. This is from a report in March of this year. There's a booming labor market, which we know because the unemployment's down to the lowest level that I can ever remember. There's strong household balance sheets that keep spending high. Households' net worth is far higher than before COVID. Firms are going strong. Profitability record highs. Well, no wonder, of course, there's the so-called inflation, which is price gouging. Firms are making 200, 300% more profit than they have. There's even faster wage growth, strong sales growth. Firms are reluctant to have layoffs. And finally, there's the absence. This is from that report of Harvard Business Review, which is hardly a left-leaning study group. There is even the absence of convincing evidence of threats of recession. So, no, this is not taken out of context. This is the way the economy actually is.
Totally. And Jack, my question is, because like we have all those numbers, but yet there is this disconnect because in the Fed's most recent survey of household economics and decision making, only 18% of Americans think the economy is going well. So what do you think the gap is? Because I like all those numbers can be true, and yet people still feel crappy about it.
All we hear is the economy is terrible, inflation, inflation, inflation. That's all we ever hear. And what the Democrats have to get their act together. And I mean, this has been going on for I don't know, as long as I can remember. Republicans always have this negative, negative, negative whenever the Democrats have any kind of power whatsoever. And yet those negatives are very often either extremely exaggerated or simply not accurate. We've got to hear the other side, and we don't. I really wish that Biden had enough,
chutzpah?
Interest in, hello?
Hello.
Greg asked you if the word you're looking for is chutzpah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I wish he had, and I wish he would do like fireside chats every single week, saying stuff about this, about what he's accomplished, because he's accomplished a heck of a lot. Like I said, the economy is very strong.
And you make such a good point, Jack, about when you see all those construction projects, you know, the infrastructure, the bridges and the roads, those are jobs.
Yep.
Those are people earning a living, putting money back into their local economies and keeping things driving and keeping things moving, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. A couple of months ago, out in front of my house, the entire street was ripped up, and I was trying to figure out why. Well, I have a house in the Milwaukee County area. What had happened is that all the lead pipes that were along that particular street were ripped up, and they put in new polymer pipes. So
very nice. You know, very nice. Stuff.
And this is more infrastructure. This though. Is that's the point,
Jack. This and is progress.
Where that money is coming from?
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks so much for the call, Jack.
Really appreciate it.
I don't know if it's is it beholden on the media? Because it's also ultimately, and that's what I think, because we wanted to follow up, because Keith called at the end of the day yesterday, and he was right as far as what happened last year.
With the 401ks.
With the 401ks. And you know, I don't check because I'm young enough where I'm not checking my 401k because I just let it be, let it grow. Not, but like I'm not anywhere near close to retirement, right? No. Versus someone your age who's right. Like, wait,
I'm looking ahead to a couple
my
years.
My money
from
better
now.
Be in order.
Yeah,
and so that's what I mean as far as like it's interesting as far as the actual defined indicators that we're told talk about the economy, unemployment, job creation, GDP, inflation, and the difference between how people actually feel about it. Like those two things don't necessarily align. And so I'm really interested to hear from more people from you of why do you think Americans are so down about the economy despite some of these numbers? Or how do you feel personally about the economy? 844-967-2789.
I was going to say, I feel like one of the reasons why people might feel that way too is because they might not be getting raises. They might not be moving into the house or having a hard time finding a place and something like that. So when the economy affects you in those ways, of course the economy is bad because it's affecting you poorly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I get that. I mean, like I said before yesterday, I mean, if you had asked me, I'd been like, I'm ambivalent. I'm like, I have no idea. It doesn't seem like it's good, but it's better.
But you said it doesn't seem like it's
no,
good.
No, exactly.
Like that so. your like instinct is to say like, at best. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you. How do you feel about the economy or why do you think Americans are so down about the economy despite... What's going on, America? Let's talk. We're in Wisconsin. All right. 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute.
I was in the right.
Yes, absolutely in the right.
I certainly was in the right.
Happening in the economy for you to be happy with it? I'm going to rephrase the question like that.
Okay.
What has to be happening for you to be happy? Is it things are affordable? Your finances are in order? You have a job? You like your job? Like, where does the personal separate from like the micro personal versus the macro when it comes to your opinions about the economy? Because we're talking about the disconnect of, you know, the newest inflation numbers, inflation is coming down. All of the indicators as far as like what the expectation was of us going into a recession and this being a disaster is, you know, we're 14th straight month that more jobs were created than economists expected. We've created more than 4 million new jobs in the past 12 months. GDP continues to grow and is up more than 5%. Than it was at its pre-pandemic peak. Average U.S. employee now makes $33, a little bit more per hour. And the stock market is up 10% so far this year, recovering from last year, which was rocky.
Yeah.
And yet, just 18% think the national economy is in good shape. So what has to happen for you to feel like the economy is Thumbs up.
Moving in the right direction.
844-967-2789.
844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text from the 414. If the economy was so bad, how did Wisconsin get such a huge surplus? The economy's pretty good. We just need to talk about it, and we feel badly because that's all we hear. Bad this, bad that.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing pretty good. We need to count our blessings.
Yeah. We got a on the YouTube live from Mike Van Someren. He wrote, we really need to keep harping on grocery prices being down and overall wages are up. 4% inflation to 4.3% wages increasing in May. Wages surpassing inflation and no recession that the Fed said was necessary to bring down inflation. The economy is exceeding expectations, but the media focuses on Wall Street, not Main Street. So good news is bad news. We have to counter GOP messaging.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because when we start getting those debates happening, those Republicans are just going to be, I mean, whether they're debating each other or eventually when they go up against Joe Biden in a debate, they're just going to be saying, the economy is terrible. And I just want someone to be like, no, it's not. You're stupid. Like, just play it out like that. Instead of saying, well, let me tell you about the economy and then go into use all their 2 minutes, be like, no, you're wrong. You're stupid. You're a liar. And the economy is great. Now I'll tell you why it's great.
But does that work?
No, it never works. But that's how it works in my heart. Like, because I just want, I want Democrats and liberals, when they're running for office, to be as succinct as Republicans can be on the podium when it comes to debating. Because when it comes to debating, Republicans tie them all up in nice little, just, you know, chunky, like red meat like words where you're like, oh, I want more of that because that's like, that feels good. Whereas Democrats are like, let me explain to you the economy. And people are like, no, thank you.
But I push back on that. I don't know.
Push back. I dare
you.
Well,
no, because I push back because this is where even just personally, it's like everything is gray in reality. If you're being honest.
Not the economy.
Most things are nuanced and gray and complicated.
Yes.
And to just wrap them up in a little bow is disingenuous and like not telling the whole story. Yes, it wins elections and it's like effective messaging, but it's like it feels frustrating to just say lowest common denominator is the best way to go, so it gets it through people's like right between the eyes.
That's how people get their attention. And but the thing is, it's not bad though if you're telling the truth. If you can somehow say on the pulpit, on the podium during the debate, here are the jobs, here is inflation, here's this, here's that, because we did this A, B, and C. But Democrats don't do that. They trip over their feet on the podium because they want to over-explain everything, because they want to be that professorial, like, well, I know things. I don't care what you know. Just tell me what I need to hear.
But
is the truth.
But you can't tell people, Greg, that their lived experience is wrong.
I've never said that. I'm not telling them to say that either. I'm saying instead of in a way to combat Republicans who get on the podium and lie about the economy, which – if someone sitting in rural Georgia saying, you know, yeah, the economy sucks because X, Y, and Z, because that's how the economy affects them, Democrat can stand on the podium and say, hey, the economy is going great, and I'll tell you X, Y, and Z, and we want to make it better for you.
But if we're looking at this number, this poll specifically, or this survey specifically, it says just 18% think the national economy is in good shape. That's not, like, the country's not... Fast math, let's go. 88% Republicans, right? And so there's a lot of like left-leaning Democrats, liberals. There's a lot of people who also think the economy is not in good shape that aren't necessarily watching Fox News, listening to conservative radio. Like they're still getting this message, or there's somewhere how this narrative is still dominating for them, even without, if you take the politics and what politicians say out of it, right? Like, there's still a disconnect there.
Yeah, I mean, that's about education then, and who do we get to educate it? I mean, as Jack from Merrimack said, does the president do fireside chat? I mean, the president does, if I'm not mistaken, they still do, like, weekly addresses. No one listens to them. But, yeah, I mean, who do we get to educate the country on this? Who can we get? I mean,
Stephen Colbert.
I think Tom Hanks.
Oh, good one.
I really
Who's
think
the messenger?
I think Tom Hanks is a messenger. I think he's a guy you could give the message to. He would talk about it in a way that is accessible, charming. He's not pushing an agenda. He's simply just saying, I mean, he played Mr. Rogers. I mean, who's
he was so good in it.
Just
too.
Like if Mr. Rogers wasn't alive now, who's the next best thing? Tom Hanks.
Okay, we have to go to a break, but I'm going to pose this question. On top of how do you feel about the economy? Why is there a disconnect? What has to happen for you to feel better about it? But also, who's the most loved American to deliver this message? Like, who's the most palatable?
Yeah.
Your vote is Tom Hanks.
I Tom Hanks off the top of my head. I'll think of two more between now and the
All right. Break. Well, we got to go to another break, but we will keep this conversation going after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we're tussling with the disconnect of how the economy is doing, according to numbers, and how people feel about the economy.
What are your feelings?
What are your feelings? And so we have a couple more comments on the live stream, which you can always watch us instead of just listen to us. And you can watch the reruns. You can go back and see what face I made at Jane when I that long pregnant pause
and our dancing. I think the dancing is worth looking.
You can go find your favorite Wednesday episodes. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Sure.
But you can always find those anywhere you find are on social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. But our first one, I don't know, Effusion, I think is how this person their username is. Would you say Effusion?
I'd say Effusion.
Effusion.
I'd say Effusion, yeah.
To me, I think that for most people to be happy with the economy, we to not have the majority of folks working multiple jobs to make ends meet. Unemployment may be down, but we have more jobs. And I think that's true. Like, I think there's conflicting feelings around what does it take to get by when you hear numbers of it's only, you know, how many people are a $400 emergency away from being in real trouble.
Yeah.
That again, it goes back to like the personal finances versus the economy and how you feel like you're doing.
Well, that's, you asked the question in the last segment as far as like, what does it need to happen for you? And for me, all I would need is one, like maybe like some interest rate, like, you know, better interest rates for my house, so refinance to get a little less payment. The not having to work as much as I do, that'd be nice. But then also, that's pretty much it. I'm very lucky to be comfortable enough to be able to pay my bills. Then what I want is for the economy to affect people positively as well, like, you know, better jobs, more raises, things like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like those things that affect me, I hopefully will affect someone else in a positive way as well. That's how I see the economy is doing. Not just about me, because if it's just about me, then it's not. I'm probably wealthy.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter
comparatively. Sure,
exactly. So for me, it has to be a spreading of the wealth, if you will. I said it.
A rising rising tides raises all boats situation, if you will.
Yes.
But that's not incorrect. Yeah. You know, it's really not. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. Tom from Cedarburg joining us. Hey, Tom, what do you think?
Well, I think part of it is I know at the end of the month, there's not much money left over. And so it is tighter than before COVID. And I think that's really the main point of it is COVID really has changed people's lives so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people we know have died, family members. and I think there's an emotional component to that, a negativity, like a suffering that society is still going through. And so because of that pressure down on our beings and our hearts and stuff like that, that's that negativity is going out to the markets or the economy too. And there are some obviously, you know, some problems with the economy, but maybe there are more jobs. But I don't know, are they part time jobs? Mm-hmm. Are they jobs where that's enough that, you know, people can make? And on that, I don't know. When they talk about all the new jobs, I'm sure there are some full time, but yeah, I think it's a whole thing kind of rolled together. There's emotions and pressures and stuff, you know, from what people have gone through. And I think that's making it seem worse than maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were... the other question we posed before the break was, you know, some of this might have to do with what gets talked about in the media and what the overriding narrative is around how things are going, which can't negate people's actual experiences, as Tom just said. Like, if you were actually struggling, that is different. But there are so many of us, like Greg, you just said, you're like, I'm doing pretty okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty okay, me personally. Jane's doing pretty okay. That, like, but like, there's a lot of people who probably are not feeling, they're not up against the rock in a hard place.
Right.
But yet their instinct tells them,
this isn't good.
The economy is not good.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about who we thought, because it can't be Joe Biden, because Joe Biden's divisive.
Cannot be a
can't
politician.
Can't be Elon Musk.
No.
Divisive.
God. No, cannot be a politician or anything.
Or any, yeah. But like, who's the most uniting figure
and
to deliver the message of, hey, we're doing okay. Your first instinct was Tom Hanks.
But I changed my mind.
And I think where you're going with this, we already have two people on the Facebook Live who agree with you. But who do you think?
I think if you put this person down, sat them down with their wonderful charm and folksy attitude and just lovingness to explain to us the economy, I think Dolly Parton would be the person.
Ooh, that's good.
Pigeon Forge's own Dolly Parton, I tell you right now.
If she can do, you know, although she wasn't very, very successful at being, did she bring the people together on the COVID vaccine after she was one of the major donors to its development?
I mean, but she did something.
She did do something. I stand at Dolly Parton.
At the end of the day, she's doing great things, and I think, I mean, I just think she's probably the best figure.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Tony Zimmerman on the Facebook Live says the most popular person is Dolly Parton. They made a whole podcast about how she brings all demographics together. It is because she tries to stay out of politics, though. And then Brady said, I agree with Tony. I always say Dolly Parton may be the one person who can unite this country. You know who I think would be the funniest, who also I don't think is a divisive figure?
Me. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Danny DeVito.
Hello. Let me talk to you about the economy.
That would be the shoutiest explanation you've ever heard. If she were still with us, I would have suggested Betty White.
Betty White. I think Betty White is up there.
Betty White definitely popped into my head as well.
But who hates Danny DeVito?
Nobody hates Danny
DeVito.
Everyone
loves Danny DeVito.
Even his ex-wife loves him. Like, they're still like best friends.
Don't they still like live together or something? They're just hanging?
Yeah, that's great.
Like, my vote is Danny DeVito. I agree that Dolly Parton's up there, but I feel like, because it'd also be entertaining. And like, how do you get mad at Danny DeVito?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text Rico from Rock County joining us. Hey, Rico, what do you think?
Hey, I just wanted to give my nomination here. Tom Hanks did pop into my head first, but if it's not him, I think Morgan Freeman.
Oh, voice of God.
Let me talk to you about the economy.
He's got that voice.
He does have the voice.
Yeah.
March of the Penguins voice.
That's all I got.
All right.
That's great. Thanks, Rico. Great
suggestion, Rico.
That's a great suggestion. You also open it up for James Earl Jones then.
Sure.
As far as just, especially if it's a radio situation where we're like soothing you into like comfort.
Another great one, Bryan Cranston.
From Walter Breaking White? Bad?
Yeah, why not?
I guess he is likable.
He's
is
very
he
likable.
Famous enough?
He's very funny.
I think that's a stretch.
Okay, you know what? I'm trying.
I know. I just don't think he's got broad enough appeal. And when I see him, and I know he's done lots of things, but I think of a meth dealer. So I don't know.
Excuse me. He's a meth
creator. I apologize.
He's a job creator.
Right.
He's a chemist.
Yeah,
Jane.
Exactly. He's a teacher. Hello.
Jane's a father.
Wow, Jane hates education, everybody. Jane hates education. You were here first. But no, I mean, those are all great suggestions, but I think for me, Dolly Parton would be the number. I mean, I'd probably cry if she explained the economy, because I know she would do it from her heart, because she just wants you to know.
Tony just put another one up here. Ryan Reynolds.
No Canadians.
He said he may be Canadian, but that witty comedy and those charming good looks, my words, would make us forget our problems.
I'm gonna.
What if it was a combo Hugh Grant and Ryan Reynolds?
Insufferable. We never learn about the economy. Just be an improv bit for 20 minutes.
And the more that I've learned about Hugh Grant personally, the less I like him.
What have you learned about Hugh Grant?
He's kind of a douche.
Not Hugh Grant. I meant Hugh Jackman.
Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, okay. I love Hugh Grant. I love Hugh Grant in The New World.
I meant, yeah, because Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds are good buddies.
It still would be a 20-minute improv.
I've heard nothing but good things about Hugh Jackman, so I thought you were about to, like, crush my world.
No, not Hugh Jackman. Hugh Grant.
I do like what Hugh Grant's been doing in movies lately.
Which one?
Great movie choices Hugh Grant has.
What has he done recently?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY from the 920, former U.S. Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. Is my favorite person to get economic insight from. And I follow him on Twitter.
I have to brag for a second.
Oh, you met him?
I took a class with him. He was my professor in college.
Okay,
and
I'm
he
leaving.
Was wonderful. I bet. If you can imagine, because he has dwarfism. So he's like 4'8".
Oh, I had no idea.
And if you can imagine a 500-person lecture hall that was always packed.
Yeah.
Like, it was even, like, halfway through the, like, after a midterm or whatever, like, it was always packed. And it was a three-hour lecture once a week.
Wow.
And he held that room.
Okay.
Every week. Like, his stories, the way he explained things, his jokes, like, he was unbelievable.
So I'll make, okay, so I would say no to Robert Reich just because very political, very opinionated, can be divisive, but... Robert Reich, Danny DeVito, same room. Robert Reich has all the whiteboard stuff, and Danny DeVito goes, "It's fine, everybody." Just those two together. Oh, I'd watch them talk about the economy. Robert Reich, are you listening right now? One of your former students has made it in radio. Come on the show. Bring your buddy Danny.
He is very good at explaining things, though.
Yeah,
so I totally agree, 920, as far as his ability to break things down. If you follow him on YouTube, he's now on TikTok. Like, his ability to take complex topics and explain them, and especially when he's talking about the economy, especially when he's talking about wage gaps, wealth gaps, and kind of what has happened. I mean, that was the basis of the class that we took, was like, what has happened to erode the middle class and all of the policy decisions and like the like bankrupting or like ruining unions and all of these different things that have led us to where we are now, that we don't isn't top of mind for us because of all the other distractions. But as far as like how the average middle class person is doing just keeps going down. And that doesn't get talked about enough.
Kristen, I think we have a challenge now. I think you need to reach out to Robert Reich. Be like, hey, I'm a former student of yours. I host 10 to 12's most popular radio show in Wisconsin. Why don't you come on your show and talk about the economy?
I mean, the worst thing that can happen is he doesn't write back.
Exactly.
Or says no.
Yeah. What do you have to lose, Kristen?
I'll say this,
Morgan Freeman. What do you have to lose, Kristen?
All right, I will make a reach. We'll see what happens.
That would be spectacular.
That would be unbelievable.
It's got to be on a Wednesday. I'll accept no other thing.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I actually like this. So if you have more ideas, who do we have so far? So we're asking the question, who is the right person to deliver a unifying message about how the country's actually doing? We were specifically talking about economically, but I think in general, like... As the gratitude, who's our gratitude journal? Who's our person to come out and remind us, like, things aren't so bad?
You are so uplifting. It's hilarious sometimes.
And so our leading contender, I think, right now is Dolly Parton.
I think Dolly Parton, vote-wise.
So we have Dolly Parton, Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, Ryan Reynolds, Danny DeVito.
Robert Reich. And I think
all right. And so if you have another person that you think is a unifying figure who could be a messenger of positivity, but also explain it. Explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Cut through the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Who would that person be to you, that you think both sides could get on with and isn't just going to be called a political hack or just disregarded. Dolly Parton is up there. I'm trying to think. Meryl Streep?
No.
Not. And I love Meryl Streep.
I love Meryl Streep too, but
she doesn't have the warmth of a Dolly.
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
She's funny, and but Dolly is just, she's unifying. She's a unifying figure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be hard pressed to find someone to beat Dolly.
Who beats Dolly?
The only one who could have beat her was
Betty White.
That was
R.I.P.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Real quickly, I'm sorry, Karina, we're up against the break. Who do you want to say?
Well, guys, I was talking about the economy, and the thing is, we all have a job. When you're talking about, you guys all employ. What is happening to us when we don't have a job for some reason?
Karina, you're going to have to hang on through the break. We are coming right up against the wall here.
All right, we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Money don't get everything, it's true.
As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. He is Greg Bach. And we are wrapping up our conversation around how we feel about the economy. And Karina held on to the line. Karina, what do you have to say?
Yeah. So, guys, this is what I was talking about with you. Because we all employ right now, thankfully, right? And we're talking about that we're feeling okay, that we have a job and we can cover our bills. What's happening to us when we don't? Because the rest of the country, and we're talking about the inflation and how much they have, but they all have a protection from the government, from the system they work for, they live in. They have a free at least health care. Guys, we don't have a health care practically in this country. If we don't have a job, so we have to pay more than we pay for rent, for crying out loud, for health care.
It's not wrong.
No, totally. You're not wrong. Thanks so much for the call, Karina. And I think that's true. It's like there is the spectrum as far as there's a lot of people who are not secure.
Yes.
And I think for me, that makes sense. Like when those people think that it's not, the economy's not going great, it's like, yeah, it's not serving you. You are not getting the tools that you need to be successful.
Exactly.
And yet there's also those of us who do and still feel like, well, everything sucks.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Tom, from Nakusa is on the line. Hey, Tom, what do you think?
Well, I think that probably the movie stars aren't probably the best to tell us how the economy is going.
Fair.
Although I do like Dolly Parton a lot and Tom Hanks. And it's when it comes to Robert Reich, I guess maybe he's redeemed himself. In the last couple of years, I watch a few of his videos, but you got to remember, he sold us on NAFTA when he was with Bill Clinton. The only politician I really trust a lot is Bernie Sanders, and I think he would tell us that the economy is going good for the ultra wealthy, but for everybody else, they might be working two and three jobs to make ends meet.
I mean, while Bernie is a great figure to talk about that point, I do with the point the thing we were talking about is that you would get an immediate amount of people who'd be like, I don't want to listen to Bernie Sanders talk about this.
As far as a uniting figure,
yeah. Which is unfortunate because you know of all the people in elected federal government, he probably has the biggest heart for all people, but people just don't appreciate that.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
I suppose. All right, thanks. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
Sandy from Milwaukee called. She did not want to come on the air, but she suggested Giannis. Who doesn't like Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I'm also trying to think
that dude from the Heat.
Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. He's like, I don't care what anyone says about the economy. I'm not listening to that Greek freak.
I just thought that was a great suggestion. He is so squeezably likable.
His Daily Show interview was so adorable.
He is very hard to dislike. He's also, it's just learning his story and what Jokic's story is pretty good too. Who's the MVP for the Denver Nuggets. And I saw a great meme about him last night. There's like, it's four pictures. It's one of LeBron winning the championship and crying like a baby.
Yeah.
It's one of Steph Curry crying like a baby when he won. Who was the other person? I don't think it was Kobe. It was another player, like, so upset. And then Jokic is like, just like, whatever, man. Like, I can't wait to go home. Like, he just is like, he's like pissed that the parade is Thursday. This is a clip that's going viral. Like, so he found out that the Denver parade is not till Thursday to celebrate. And he's like pissed that it's going to be that long because he just wants to go back to Serbia, like, and go be with his horses.
Yeah. All right, fine,
do we have time to run through three headlines in a line?
We got about 3 minutes.
All right, we're going to go fast.
Okay. Boom.
Headline, this is the game we play. We haven't played it in a while. The game that we play where there's four headlines, one is fake, three are real. Greg and Jane have to guess which one in less than 3 minutes is the fake one.
Okay.
Headline number one, no, Sweden did not declare sex a sport. Number two, hackers replaced every listing on an e-com platform Ding Dong with used cigarettes.
Ding Dong.
Number three, Salesforce tells employees it will donate $10 per day to charity if they come back to the office. Four, scantily clad witches caught munching on deer carcass in bizarre security cam footage. Which one's fake, Greg?
I think the first one, Sweden.
It's the witches.
Both of those are real.
Ah, dang it.
Come on.
Sweden, this was from Snopes. Fact check, no, Sweden did not declare sex a sport. So that was them debunking something. Salesforce has indeed trying to lure employees back to the office by donating to charity $10 a day.
I can certainly see that happening.
And scantily clad witches caught munching on deer carcass in bizarre security cam footage in Canada.
Those witches are dead now.
The one that is fake is hackers replaced every listing on e-com platform Ding Dong with used cigarettes.
I can tell you this much. If my boss said, hey, if you come back to the office, we'll donate to charity. Like, you can kiss the fattest part of my butt. Give me that money. I hate it when we'll give to charity. No, give to me charity.
I don't know if Salesforce employees need $10 a day.
I don't. What is Salesforce?
It's like one of the biggest platforms as far as it's like a CRM system. I don't know. I'm going to start talking in gibberish.
She's going to start talking
gibberish. Okay. It's a very big company.
Can you get Danny DeVito to explain to me?
Or Morgan Freeman.
Or Dolly Parton.
Or Tom Hanks. But not Robert Reich. He sold NAFTA.
I forgot about that. I was pretty young when that happened. That's true.
He was not wrong.
He doesn't talk about that in his class very often.
Tom, who Tom pointed that out, was not wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a very fun first hour.
Informative
and fun. We loved hearing from you.
Yes.
Always love audience engagement because, you know, we don't know everything.
Well, speak for yourself.
That's fair, Greg. All right. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about hospital mergers because in the last year, I know it sounds boring.
Second hour gets
but
funner.
It's so important. So there's been four different mergers in the last year alone in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And our guest, Ashley Swanson, who's an associate professor of economics at UW-Madison, is going to be here to talk about how these typically go, both for the systems that are emerging, but also for patients. Like, do things get better? Do things get more expensive?
Yeah.
Because it's happening, so we might as well understand what it could mean for you, for us. And if there's anything we can do to stop these mergers so that there's still, because the biggest thing seems like access to healthcare so people aren't driving hours whenever they need help. But that's, you know, who am I to say that that's the biggest problem? But it seems like it should be.
It's a big problem.
It's a big problem.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Lumberhead.